do great things too.
All right, so
thank you so much.
That's Spirio for today. But before we go on, I know. I was gonna say, before we go on, we are gonna listen to Mary and Froy, who will be giving us announcements.
That's right. For you today, and kind of along the same theme. And first, I just want to say thank you guys so much for coming. It was great hearing all of you guys. The first announcement we have is that the Massachusetts Immigrant and Refugee Advocacy Coalition will be having a Thanksgiving luncheon on Monday, November 24th to celebrate immigrants. It's intended to be a moment of reflection and thanksgiving as we remember the sacrifices immigrants make to realize their American dream. Additionally, there will be a march for full-time family jobs on this Tuesday, November 25th at 4 p.m. in front of the State House next to Boston Commons. The march will aim to help achieve better jobs and higher pay, especially for low-income workers working full-time to support their families. There will also be an Energy Empowerment Revolution Rally on Tuesday from 6 o'clock to 7:30 p.m. at Faneuil Hall, Boston. It will highlight the common links between the issues of energy efficiency, economic cost and opportunity, public health, climate impact, labor opportunities, and concerns for low and middle income people. And we have one more announcement, which is for the Bhopal Mela, which is a dance and music adventure to raise funds for the survivors of the Bhopal chemical disaster. And it's going to be on December 6, 2008 at 7 p.m. in Wong Auditorium at MIT.
¿Tenemos tiempo para español o no? ¿Qué dices?
Que lo hagas rápido.
Órale. Bueno, hijo eso. Habrá una marcha... Así es la vida. Habrá una marcha para trabajos y full time family jobs, lo que significa es para trabajo de tiempo completo. Es en noviembre 25 a las 4 de la tarde enfrente de la State House, enseguidita del Boston Commons. Esta marcha tendrá la meta de ayudar a conseguir mejores trabajos y con mejor paga, especialmente para la gente que trabaja trabajos de muy poca paga y que no trabaja en tiempo completo, para que ayuden a su familia. También habrá un rally para una revolución de darle poder a la energía este martes de las 6 a las 7 y media de la tarde en el Faneuil Hall. Esta marcará las relaciones que hay en común entre las energía, economía, oportunidad, salud y cambio climático, aparte de las oportunidades que hay para trabajar y lo que cómo puede mejorar la vida de la gente que vive en un poquito menos de la clase media. Y finalmente, que también va a haber el Bhopal Mela, que es como una aventura de música y baile, que así como lo pone el Amnesty International, para ayudar a agarrar fondos para los sobrevivientes del desastre químico en Bhopal, en la India, este diciembre 6 de las 7 a las 9 y media de la noche aquí en el MIT, en el Wong Auditorium, en el 70 Memorial Drive, aquí en Cambridge, Massachusetts. Por favor, visiten la página boston4bhopal.org para más información. Nos estamos en contacto. Vemos la próxima semana.
Esto ha sido un esto ha sido un proyecto de Esferio, la voz local de nuestro hemisferio. It's 7:01 p.m. here in Cambridge, WMBR Cambridge. Thank you so much. And the music for human beings is up next. You're listening to WMBR. Gracias, obrigado, etc., etc., etc.
Mom, thanks for taking me to work with you today.
It's my pleasure, honey.
Gee, you work with lots of people who don't look like you at all.
What do you mean?
Well, there are Asian people and African Americans and Latinos and...
Of course there are. Here, we all work together as a team.
But aren't they different than you are?
In a way, but those differences are good because they mean different ways of seeing things, different ways of thinking things, and different ways of doing things.
But Mom, if all that different stuff is so good where you work, how come where we live, everyone looks just like us?
Diversity shouldn't be left behind at work each day. In our neighborhoods, we can create a greater appreciation and respect for cultural differences and prepare our children for the global life that lies ahead. After all, your family doesn't live in a 9-to-5 world. Why should diversity?
Mom, the people you work with are awesome. I really like them.
To better understand the benefits of diversity in your community, log on to aricherlife.org. That's www.aricherlife.org. A message brought to you by the National Fair Housing Alliance in celebration of the 40th anniversary of the Fair Housing Act.
فمرحبا من الدكتور جالس السكران. Welcome to Music for Human. I'm here this evening with my friend and co-mentor, the ordained light minister, Lester Woods.
Good evening, everyone.
Welcome, Lester. Well, it's been a very slow week for me. I think that might have to do with the temperature here. It's very cold. And I'm sort of cold-blooded, I think.
You know, I've been feeling the effects too. I think it's my metabolism. It's been slowing down. I guess we're all going to hibernation mode, and actually that's just the time that I pour a big bowl of colon blow.
Yeah, it's always very relaxing, very, very good way to cleanse there. Yeah, I've been having difficulty making contact with my spiritual self this week, this entire week. It's very frustrating.
It's a question of how do we sustain ourselves in these times when it gets colder outside and you know, the dandelions aren't growing. What do we use for soup?
Yeah, I think that's a very good metaphor. The dandelions aren't growing because of the cold. And like your spiritual self, there is no soup.
It has that inner satiating part of the broth.
So even without dandelions, there is some soup, but it's not as nourishing as the spiritual dandelion soup that we are very familiar with. Oh, this our manager is motioning to me that we have another host with us here today. We'd like to welcome Mr. Five.
Good evening.
Hello, Five.
Hello.
So Five is a chance mediator. He mediates probabilities and chance.
Exactly right.
You know, Five, we've never had a chance mediator on the show. And I wonder, you know, I've heard about the chance mediators on syndicated news programming and from a variety of outlets, you know, but as I say, I've never met one. Of course, the most famous is the terrifying in her power, Miss Chloe.
She was a student of mine.
So, has the student surpassed the master?
I'd like to think of it more as a migration of paths.
Do you condone her profiteering, and you know, it sort of cheapens the art.
I don't think it cheapens the art, but I've taken. We thought a lot about this. We have a group of chance mediators, and like all groups, there's bylaws. One of them is that people are free to do with their knowledge as they wish. Chloe took an interesting path, and we've seen repercussions in the field, but things are getting back to normal, and we've actually seen a resurgence in the field.
And
because of her, so...
So she's actually promoted interest and development there.
Right.
That's always good.
It's good.
Yeah, these... And how formal is work there? I mean, I know that recently, generally speaking, in the New Age, there has been a sort of... an effort to become more systematic.
Right.
Because I think by and large in the 80s, the New Age movement was seen as very hokey. But
right.
Now at least we're gaining mainstream appeal. We are, you know, used by CNN to discover news stories, for example, and so on. And I'm curious if that has, you know, bled into chance mediation as well.
Well... I don't know if Lester has anything to say about this, but back in the 80s, we were looking at establishing our Chance Mediation Research Accomplishment Institute in the U.S. Instead, we located to Chad. Again, this comes a lot from Chloe and some work we had done previously on soil substitutes in Chad, so... The foundation there was more solid, and I think Lester might have more to say about that.
No, that's right. That reminds me of when you decided to chosenly go towards the non-profit sector of chance in this type of mediation.
Right. There's two kinds of chance. So there's a for-profit and a non-profit chance. Typically, we think of for-profit chance as a stock market, bonds, poker... casinos, and that's all for profit.
But let's just try to contextualize this and put the situation in place for some of our listeners who may not be in tune with the nonprofit type of chance. You know, what can they expect if they're coming to you as, well, I guess you could even call them clients, right?
Right. So, nonprofit chance, we've got our clients include homeless people on the streets. Obviously, they don't have money, and we give them chance statistics for free. Mm-hmm. These are mostly pro bono clients.
So it's for the karma, as it were.
Right. We also, you know, think that not all of the intellect lies in the intellectuals, and that maybe hidden in maybe hidden in the next guy on the corner is the next chance mediator, so we take our chances.
Hmm. So our operator indicates that we have just lost our first caller. Callers, call in if you'd like, and we would be happy to take your calls. And my friend Mr. Five and I both have decks of cards, and we are ready to attempt to mediate the chance. Well, our caller has returned. Marhaban, you're on the air.
Hey, sorry for the temporary feedback.
Oh, that's fine.
So, a couple of questions. It sounds as if what you're talking about is almost sort of the invisible hand of the market at work. Is that... Would that be somewhat accurate?
I think somewhat's the operative word in that sentence.
So, help me understand more. I've been recently learning more about Mandelbrot geometry. you're familiar with Mandelbrot geometry, sort of the chaos theory, fractals, etc.
Certainly,
yeah, right,
certainly.
Right. We're following you.
So, is there any kind of relationship there that might help me have a sort of analogous understanding?
No.
It sounds like, caller, that's really the wrong way to approach this particular concept. You know, it's somewhat more subtle, I think, than, you know, Mandelbrot geometry, which is, it's an interesting look on the thing. It's like saying, well, the hand of God is behind the particular choice, so that even though it seems random, it's actually... But I think in this case there is some telekinetic or universal... well, I'm not sure what the word might be in English, but some sort of mana or something behind the cards.
Oh, right.
So, I'm trying to sort of balance my spiritual and intellectual innards here, and I think the other way I would maybe put this just for my understanding, and maybe this also helps other listeners, is adding in the perspective of recent work that I've heard of in I think it's particle physics, or it might be where they've kind of taken a look at how, I guess, quarks or some very small
muons.
Particles will
muons.
Hello.
Muons.
Hello.
No, you're still on the air, caller.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's fine.
Where particles would move from one part of the universe to another, and therefore, if it's happening so frequently that you have particles that are kind of moving from one side of the Earth to another, and maybe even getting more refined from one person's brain into another, and they're activating the same, you know, analog synapse, and it happens with such great, you know, trillions upon trillions of frequency, then that could have a way of sort of saying, yeah, this is real. This is really happening at the physical level, at the physical... You know, there is this sort of the relationship between the physical universe and the and the spiritual, but it all comes down to...
But as chance mediators, we rely on the fact that those trillions of frequencies have to become physical. Correct? And you're talking about particles smaller than you can see.
Oh, of course.
So, of course. I think you have to be careful.
They can become physical in the way that the human perceives and understands the things that happen in the brain.
Sure, right. And in order to ground this for our listeners, one thing that you can always use to take a look at these types of theories and see their application, and this comes from my own training as an ordained light minister, is if you take a flashlight, sometimes all you need is a flashlight. And you get to see the shadows. That's where you know the truth lies.
Right, it's not necessarily in the illuminated. We can't see everything there is to see.
I firmly accept that.
So, caller, stay with us. We are getting our second call.
I think I'll go off the air now and enjoy the rest of the program. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much for calling, caller.
Hello?
Caller 2, you're on the air.
Oh, great. This is Robert, and I'm with my wife, Zelda.
Oh, Marhaban. Welcome, Robert and Zelda.
We're Robert and Zelda, not Bob. That's our last name. And we just love your show. Am I still on?
Yeah, you are still with us. Thank you very much.
Okay. Well, we're listening from the International Space Station. We're in orbit, and we were on the cleaning crew of the shuttle when it took off, so we're kind of stuck up here by mistake, and they haven't got it in the budget to get us a seat back yet.
Well, that's wonderful, though, Robert and Zelda, because you are our first extraterrestrial listeners here today.
Right.
So that we've had contact with.
So, Robert, where would you put yourself right now? Can you try to ground it for the rest of us?
Well, it's kind of weird because the space station's kind of like crawling around in air ducts, like an HVAC thing. It's most of it's pretty small, and so we're a little bit disoriented because we kind of bob around if we're not tied down or magnetized to something. But I was kind of interested in what.
You're too damn cheap to let us rotate so we can get some gravity up here.
So there is no like artificial gravity or anything.
We don't get the best gravity. There's a little centrifugal force, but I was kind of interested in all that you were saying because, we've been up here for 2 months, and we've really been trying our best to meditate.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be very quiet up here.
So do you find it disorienting to be away from, well, we were just discussing earlier the dearth of dandelions, but I imagine that it's very hard to even collect lichens and things up in space.
Well, it's cold up here. Like Zelda?
Well, we're running out of water. If they don't get us some water soon, we're going to have to start drinking urine, and I'm not too thrilled.
Well, yeah, urine is not really good for drinking. There are alternatives there. You know, maybe if you have a distillery, you could make some sort of, Dutch lager urine derivative.
Yeah, that's right. I've really understood that they do help nourish the body and the soul together. Sure. One thing you should look at is consider the position that you're in right now. A lot of us are looking for ways that we can sustain ourselves, and here you have the opportunity of really understanding the full cycle of your inputs and outputs. You're in a position that I think is actually oft wanted by the rest of us.
It's pretty neat up here. I mean, the Earth looks really neat.
Well, we were thinking about using Tang.
I would rather drink urine. So, Robert and Zelda, do you have any questions for our chance mediator, Mr. Five?
Well, we're just spiritual seekers, and of course, we'd like to get back. I mean, we're trying to learn how to meditate, and there's quite a different set of vibration. I was thinking I was feeling those quarks.
Mm-hmm. So one thing that I recommend is, our subject of discussion several weeks ago was group meditation. You are there with your wife. That might be a good plan that you might try to meditate, in tandem. Another option is, now this week I've been having difficulty myself with meditation, so I've been using external tools to bring out the spirit, so to speak. Including a deck of cards. Are you fortunate enough to have a deck of cards up there in space?
No, but we've been able to tap into the Soviet satellites. Now, that's been really interesting because Soviet TV's gotten a lot better than it used to be.
Mm-hmm. With the...
I haven't seen any cards yet, but I haven't really looked around in all the personal, private spaces yet. So that might be something we could do later on after we finish meditating.
I think it's Russian. I think the Soviets are finished. Didn't Gorbachev sort of, and Reagan sort of... But it's in Russian. We get Russian television. It's pretty cool.
So, let's ask Mr. Five. Mr. Five, will Robert and Zelda make it down, do you think, in the next few months or indeed in this life?
I prefer that they ask the question directly and I reply
indirectly.
Indirectly. So if you two would like me to answer a question?
Oh, we got loads of questions.
Let's go.
Ask me how many guides.
How many guides do I have? How many spiritual guides do I have? How many? I'm Robert, not Bob.
Robert, not Bob. How many? Let me rephrase it. Not in numbers, but qualitatively, and suggest that you make a blank valuable by putting it in an exquisite frame. So maybe reframing your position, and your situation, your coordinate system, might be a good idea while you're up there for the time being.
So my card reading says one.
One month? Yeah.
For 1 year.
Oh, a year. Oh, I didn't think about that.
I don't know.
Yeah, you know, spirit's kind of weird. They don't give you, sometimes it's 1 month, sometimes it's 1 year.
Yeah, I can do a separate reading for the units.
Right.
Ah,
that's
cool.
Common.
Well, just a moment.
Now, one problem we often run into, and I just want to forewarn you before we actually read out the units, is we have had some difficulty in determining whether the units reading out are actually in the English system or are in the metric system.
Or binary.
Right.
Okay, let's see what we get here.
Zero or one.
I got nine. Nine of diamonds, which probably indicates, I would think, let's see, there's days, weeks, months, and years, and diamonds are they the highest suit?
I think right. You start by subdividing into milliseconds, seconds.
Oh, I see.
Right, so you've got those units first. So milliseconds, seconds, minutes, hours, quarter hours, days, weeks, months,
mm-hmm.
bi-month, well, half years.
Half
so
years.
Nine. You're at nine, at one.
One half year.
Times half years.
So 6 months.
So 6 months.
Yeah.
Does that, would there be any chakra practice that we could do while we're here? Does music bring
you? What about the green cleaning supplies? Do you think we could drink the green cleaning supplies? That we brought up.
The janitorial equipment has some the green. It's
seventh generation
water
yeah,
and algae.
Eco-friendly. I think maybe we could drink some of that.
Oh, well, you know, if it's organic, that's probably okay.
Yeah,
because right, organic things are made from, well, you know, inorganic things are made from whatever rocks.
It's not natural.
Right, whereas organic things are made from organs.
Rocks.
Okay.
Sometimes the American astronauts will bring us a little food package.
Ice cream. Frozen ice.
With squeezable colon blow. And that's
not
refreshing.
I don't want to do the colon blow right now.
No.
You can't guarantee that you can get that out.
Yeah, extraterrestrial colon blow.
I mean, floating around.
There's no gravity.
Yeah, we kind of bounce around a lot. We have.
What are the toilets like in space?
Just vacuums.
Oh, so vacuums, of course.
They're like sculpted vacuums, and they really give you a tug.
Yeah, you urinate right into space.
It's like an inverse enema.
Well, I really would recommend starting to save your urine if your water is running out.
Well, we have cases of Ziploc bags up here. So, and magic markers, we can label things. So that's a good idea.
Well, that's a good idea, right, exactly.
And it's
an excellent idea.
It's an excellent idea.
That's a superb idea.
Well, let me do another reading here. I'm excited. Let me see. My question, of course, is, will Robert and Zelda, not Bob, be forced to drink urine? Two of clubs.
Don't tell them that.
What?
But I accidentally drank some you left in the cup.
No, they didn't hear that.
Of course. See, the two is very confusing because two means both yes and no. That's why.
Past and present as well.
So therefore, you have and you will, and yet you won't and you haven't. So probably that means that you don't intend to, but you will anyway.
This is kind of like that meditation on bliss where they say ignorance is bliss. And it really is. Because, like, what you don't know, you know, sometimes it won't hurt you.
Well, right. You know, it. I think parts of this means that you should really start saving your urine because you're going to have to drink it.
I think we all should.
I mean,
not in space alone.
I have tried, and it really has been an unsuccessful experiment there.
Well, let me...
Some things are better off in the well.
Let me bring this up. Is space urine, would it have special qualities? There's no gravity. Things just kind of, they don't fall in one direction. They tend
so it's
to
kind hurt. Of a, you urinate a mist, I would think.
Yeah. It depends on how much...
The water's held together by surface tension. Let's not forget that.
Of course.
And so, the other thing you need to remember is that because you are in space, you're going to find a little bit higher concentrations of calcium in your urine, so that just means that it's going to be more nutritious going in.
Rubidium as well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, when we turn out all the lights, it gets really cold up here, and we've noticed that some of the machinery gets condensation on. I was kind of thinking maybe we could rig something up with that.
Do you also notice a glow from the stored pee that you have? Have you noticed that yet?
No, I didn't know.
I thought it was glowing.
You thought it was glowing?
Yeah.
Oh.
That might
That's
have
why
been.
The yellow is so bright.
Right.
Yeah.
You might also consider, if it's so cold, you might eat the snow.
I didn't really get it. It doesn't quite get snowy, but it does get, if we turn all the lights out, everything kind of gets a little bit of a frost on it, and then when you turn the lights back on, then it turns into warm.
Right. I think that has to do with the geodesic properties of your living room right there.
Oh.
Okay. So yeah, shape. That's good, though. That's a good point, that shape is also very important.
Right. It's that dependence of form and function. They really are inextricably linked when you don't have gravity anymore.
Another question that I would like to ask. It's really a pity that some of our... other hosts aren't with us because one thing that I would like to know is what is, extraterrestrial feng shui like? Like, you know, it's no longer an issue of should the desk be facing the door, but should it be on the ceiling or what angle is appropriate?
Mm.
Well, the ceiling and the floor are the same thing here. I guess I should say out here, the ceiling and the floor are the same thing, and just kind of up is whatever your mood is, pretty much. It takes a little getting used to. That's why I think that, you know, the practice of, you know, centering and, you know, light meditation might really help us.
Right. That's great. Oh, that's really wonderful. One thing we should actually consider is maybe we can increase the nodal points here in the circle.
Right.
And to help us do that, we've actually got a Queen of Hearts.
Yeah, the Queen of Hearts has arrived. I drew this randomly, and this is very suggestive.
Right, and for this next stage of the program, perhaps we can answer, and then we'll ask the questions later.
It's so startling that I drew the Queen of Hearts. What's the probability? It's, you know, it can't be chance, right?
Definitely not.
Yeah, such a low probability.
That's right. Sometimes it clicks what you're saying. And it's, the disorientation in space is just amazing. And it's frightening at first, but...
Well, one thing that I would think, Robert, that would be nice is being able to float in the middle of the room and to to meditate there. You know, it's something that I've always. In fact, I often, when I'm meditating, it's an image that I use. It's that of myself flying while meditating. That I'm flying through the air and it's fine.
You would love it up here.
Yeah, I really think that the experience would be wonderful.
Yeah, it's probably a bit better if you plan it out. A little bit better than Zelda and I did.
So what sorts of things do you wish you had, like for anyone that's planning perhaps to go into space? They might like pack some granola bars or...
Yeah, or some good old GORP.
Yeah, that would be great. I mean, right now, I mean, the first thing that came to mind, what do you want? I mean, oh, we want a round-trip ticket. I mean, that's...
I'm jazzing for a steak.
Yeah, the Angus beef.
Oh, man.
Well, everything...
You see, it always comes back to organs, right? We want organic food.
Right, that's a good question. Yeah, I'm wondering, what's the chance that our next caller's from...
Oregon.
Woburn.
Well, I think he would have to ask us.
Yeah, that's true.
But I got the two of clubs here, so we'll see who's right.
I got the three of hearts.
And if you are from Woburn, that number is 617-253-8810. We've got a special guest with us here tonight, Chance.
I haven't spoken too much about it, but if anyone, you know, wants some statistics, I'll put them out there.
So, back up to you, Bob.
Not Robert?
Hello, Bob.
Yeah, Robert, not Bob. Yes, I'm here.
Do you have any pets up there?
We could use some extra space blankets up here, you know, to kind of wrap up.
That's ironic.
Space blankets with zippers that could, like, just seal us in. And, you know, it would be interesting to have some meditation crystals.
No, they need to take 0 degree bags if they come up. 0 degree mummy bags are really, we really could use those.
Oh, yeah, mummy bags would be great up here.
You know, the real question in this pursuit is, do you have any cardamom tea?
Any what?
Any cardamom tea.
Well, I don't think so. There's some codes on the food machine here.
Uh-huh, right.
And,
okay, well, the reason I was asking is because anytime I'm going out in the forest or if I'm going on other similar spiritual journey, the first thing I always bring with me is cardamom tea. And actually, in the local dialect that we speak during these meditations, we call ourselves the cardamom tea drinkers. You know, you may call us the ordained light seekers, but, you know, there's this, I guess it's just an interpretation of what it is that you're trying to seek. And so, sorry, please.
On the subject of tea, Cleo and I did some research on this, and almost any tea that starts with a C is good for you. Almost any.
Oh, hey, Zelda's got some. What did you say, Zelda?
We have some chai tea.
That actually does not work. That's the exception. Chamomile.
Colon blow.
Cardamom. Corinthians.
Even chai is not the one.
What about cinnamon?
That's not actually a tea.
That's a tea san.
Ah.
That's a derivative.
Yeah, one thing that I wanted to ask you, though, Robert, is, you know, after much training, I've heard of, you know, shramanas being able to levitate slightly. And, in fact, I was able to do some experiments with them where I would suddenly open a pit beneath the... beneath the shramana and see if they would float down or if they would stay at the same height. And the very, very expert shramana would stay at the same height, but the novices, they would float down. So they would always stay like 1 inch above the ground, wherever the ground was. But you have instantly, for free, as it were, I mean, I realize you are paying a great price in the form of being forced to drink old urine, but you are able to achieve quickly the sort of levitation and focus that is usually reserved for, you know,
monks.
very, very like ascetic practice.
I got to tell you, this was the funniest thing that happened on this trip. Zelda and I were both in the lotus position, and we were holding each other in a kind of a tantric embrace, and we were just kind of like floating in the middle of the room, and I laughed, and it made me pass gas, and it sent us into this spin right in the middle of the meditation.
Right.
It was just it takes very little pressure to move us up here, and that kind of rocking back and forth of your inner ear and your brain and your chakras and stuff, it was really funny, it was good meditation. And then I guess it was a lesson in not taking things too seriously.
Yeah, I think we can all appreciate that. It's like it's hard sometimes to just really let go and feel just how much we have to ground ourselves to not be spun by a loose wind.
Right. It's like, you're planning all day, all week even, to go out for a walk in the park, and you just don't have to lace up your shoes. It's okay on Saturday.
Wow. That sounds good. A walk in the park sounds good to me right now.
Yeah, just throw on the shoes, but don't tie them up. Just go for the walk.
Well, we can see green spaces from up here, and they look pretty cool, and we can see the ocean and that whole thing. But it's really kind of funny, because for all the money that these astronauts tell us, a little bit about what they're doing and how the different space agencies from around the world have designed these things. But it's really interesting that most of the time when they're trying to find something out about Earth, they just use Google Street View.
Yeah, we're using that a lot down here too.
Yeah, I mean, but you're not in a 300 billion dollar space station where you'd think they have their own cameras or something. I mean, it works fine.
Wow.
Well, I've used it as a meditation tool from time to time. Just being able to imagine that you are down the street when you're actually a block over, it really helps to free yourself from that grounding again.
Ah.
You don't want to become too grounded.
That's right.
So, I'm just another reading. The readings have been so successful so far. Mr. Five is reading the Five of Diamonds.
Five, I'm getting a lukewarm feeling from this. I don't know how accurate it is, but
I, of course, have read the Jack of Hearts. Now, I should make a note that if you haven't realized it, both Mr. Five and I are reading from French decks, the traditional tarot deck, or the German deck. We went for the French, the very common French deck.
In Chad, we use a slight variation of this deck. Instead of four suits, there's actually five.
Mm-hmm.
There's no nine, and instead of what we've come to know today as spades, clubs, diamonds, and hearts, we have logs, swords, what are those? Goblets? And the other two are escaping my memory right now.
The pitchfork.
The pitch... Right, the pitchfork.
And the spoon, I believe.
I think the spoon's another variation.
Okay, yeah.
But a utensil, right?
Yeah, of some kind, yeah.
And they all have different meanings, of course, and they all come from different regions. We don't really know where, though.
Oh, wow. That is so cool.
Yeah, just doing another reading here, we've caught the Ten of Diamonds, which, of course, that means both of us are telling the truth.
And I've got a Joker of dollar signs.
Which, I'm not really sure how to read the Joker.
Is this a real... Did someone rig these decks? Did someone rig my decks? I'm a little offended tonight.
Really, you feel like they may have been taped, or there may be a telekinetic external influence.
Oh, someone took out all my sixes. I knew. Statistically, that's not supposed to happen, folks. You're supposed to have sixes.
In the decks. Yeah, recently I purchased a deck from a disreputable man with an umbrella, and it had 8 sixes, but no 9s.
Oh, right. I've heard a lot of accounts of that.
Yeah, it's strange. I'm not sure what they do with the 9s. I suppose they must be more valuable because of the ink.
Right.
Oh, right. There's also 9 continents, so...
There's a chimpanzee up here.
And completely by chance, I just drew the 9 of hearts. Indicating, of course... That the man was cheating me intentionally.
Right.
I wonder why he would intentionally, fool with the predictions of an aged New Age practitioner.
It's like rigging the World Series, sort of, right? Mm. So people place bets based on statistics made in non-profit or for-profit statistic realization companies, and when these come to fruition, bingo.
That's it.
Do they use these cards to program the space station up here to make decisions?
Similar punch cards, but never punch. French, German, Chad cards.
Or tarot cards.
Right.
They're very similar in shape.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I had to... I used to have to do a lot of punch card programming, and I really felt that it was very spiritual. All this keyboard screen stuff is, there was a real ritual to it. You would make a stack of cards, and then you would present it to the oracle with, at the temple of computation, and he would return with a response.
And so on that similar vein of feeling comfortable with these physical cards in your hand that are signifying change, they have predictions. I've heard a lot of talk within the statistic realization community that people think the iPhone is based off the shape of tarot cards.
Mm.
In order to get back to some primordial feeling we have of comfort with this predictive tool.
Yeah, although, and ironically, if you've ever dropped a stack of punch cards, you know that it results in disaster similar to dropping an iPhone.
Uh-huh. That's true, unless you sacrifice a goat.
Or if by chance, which this has happened to me in the past, that I've dropped the punch cards, and when I've had a bug in my program, dropped them, and then picked it up, and the bug was gone.
And that's the beautiful thing about physical objects.
Well, yeah, and I've never heard of anyone having such results with a magnetic tape drive.
Mm-mm. Although, I have heard of magnetic bugs.
Hmm.
That's a primal thing. That's like, all this machinery around us and just getting primal, and just...
Just getting primal on those machines.
Just trying to code naked for a little while.
I am so relaxed. It's amazing. Zelda's just spinning me a little bit. And I really appreciate the show. It's very relaxing.
Well, thank you so much, Robert. And thank you, Zelda, for relaxing, Robert.
Oh, it's been great. Thanks.
Thank you. Masarame.
Once again, another great interaction between callers here. That's really what helps us bridge the circle. That's part of what we come here every Friday night is for you.
For me.
Right.
And for everyone else.
Right.
Yeah, I have one of those pictures that I hang up in my living room, and it has a nice sunset, and, you know, it's somewhat translucent. You can see the waves, and which are really just these LED pastures. You know, they're vibrating. They sense your mood, and as soon as you walk in the room, that sunset starts to rise.
It's really glorious how something like that, something so digital, should have that sort of effect.
I don't mean to dwell. Is that fiber optic?
Yeah, actually, it is. It's the latest model.
Wow.
Well, I'm sitting here making predictions quietly. Will my hair grow back? Two of diamonds. So probably indicates a toupee. And,
I've got a king of clubs showing.
King of clubs. And does the king have hair?
A full lock of hair.
Well, so then there's some probability there.
However, most people don't realize that while he's holding the sword, that could also signify
a reversal.
Right.
So no hair.
Or very long cutting hair of the hair.
In the wrong place.
Right.
Yeah. I do have a lot of arm hair.
And you can't cut that off with a sword.
I've tried. Yeah.
Maybe from a statistician, I can ask you a question, and we can see how well this works.
Sure.
Tell me when you're ready.
Okay, I'm ready. Well, one shuffle. Let's
mix it up a little
bit. I'm primed. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yalla.
Will there be a Mrs. Six in my life?
Jack of diamonds. Yeah, and the Jack has the kissing lips.
Oh, it's... Shoot. It sounds like the Paradise Bar again.
I really wanted to ask, is it going to be warm tomorrow? So maybe that's what that really means.
That Jack of diamonds.
Yeah.
Indicating that it might be warm.
Exactly. And will or will not be warm.
Or maybe it means it will be warm in Phoenix.
With lipstick on.
Possible, yeah. Really. Alright, another question. The deck is shuffled.
Right, well...
No, you... Lester, please.
Okay, I just didn't want to step out of line and not take my turn. Well, my question was a little bit more sentimental, I guess you'd say. I've, for a long time now, been really a lover and a fan of durian. For those of you who just aren't familiar, it's the king of fruits.
It really is bad, actually.
So, what I was wondering is if the durians that I imported here from Southeast Asia are gonna make it.
Okay.
You know, I ate the fruit, but right now I just wanted to see some germinate in the ground.
All right, let me. I'm really feeling this question very, very strongly. Okay.
And for the listeners to know, I've tried 20 durians already and not one has given fruit to bear.
So, the card reads the 10 of spades, which means a lot of digging, right? But that unfortunately you have opened a dimensional rift connecting two nearby locations. Any creature that enters one of these areas will move into the other area. And Mr. Five, what is it that you have drawn?
I've drawn a 10 of hearts.
A 10 of hearts, which indicates
an alignment on the tens.
An alignment and also a struggle that right. The hearts indicate failure, unfortunately. It's the spade without the handle.
Mm-hmm.
So you may even lose some shovels there.
The red heart means despair. Right. Oddly enough.
The color of blood.
Right. It's like a flea being bad.
Or high C.
And you wouldn't think that.
Well, gentlemen, unfortunately, the hour is almost over.
Well, fortunately, Mr. Five will be on PBS tomorrow night at 8 p.m.
8:30 Eastern. My new show. I'll save the title. It's quite a doozy.
Quite a doozy tomorrow night? Tomorrow night?
8:30 Eastern, PBS.
Excellent. So I'm sure we'll all tune in. Ma'a salama from Dr. Jalas Sakran.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
So we'll see you next week on Music for Human Beings. This is 88.1 FM in Cambridge. I'm Dr. Jalas Sakran. Stay tuned for Night Owl. Ma'a salama.
Safety.
Number one.
Cars and bikes stop at red lights.
It's against the law for car drivers or bicycle riders to ignore traffic signals.
So don't buzz through red lights. There might be a pedestrian or turning car that doesn't see you coming.
Number two.
Look first before you open your door.
Numerous bicyclists have been injured or even killed by car doors suddenly opening into them.
Look first, and bicyclists, stay out of the door zone.
Number three.
Cross with the signal.
You are safest if you wait for a walk or green traffic signal.
Don't jaywalk. That's just walking into trouble.
Number four.
Cars and bikes should stop for pedestrians and unsignalized crosswalks.
Be nice. Be legal. Be safe.
Brought to you as a public service by the Cambridge Bicycle Committee and this station.
WMBR. Let me get my headphones on here. We good? We going? Oh. Yeah.